a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Here.
Chair Blackberry. Gray. Dempster.
Here.
Mr. Chair, the quorum.
Thank you. I'm going to guess, since this is our first meeting, that we don't have minutes to approve. Those of you who want to testify, please, on bills, please be so kind as to sign our roster so that we know who you are and we know how heavy of a schedule that we have. With that, Senate Bill 58. Do we have proponents of Senate Bill 58? Indeed, we do.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Dusty Johnson. I'm a member of the Public Utilities Commission. And I want to talk to you a little bit about wind power.
Our commissioner, welcome.
Thanks very much. I think South Dakota can be pretty proud of what the legislature has done with wind power in recent years. The incentives that you all passed in 2003 and 2008 in a very real way opened up the state to wind power development. And as a result, in recent years, we've had hundreds of millions of dollars invested in wind power. And South Dakota is a pretty good place to do business from a renewable perspective. So South Dakota's had that kind of success with big wind projects, big renewables, but we haven't had that kind of success yet with small renewables and community-based renewables. I think that's at least in part because we don't have the same kind of incentives in place for the smaller and community-based projects as we have for the big guys. And really, the bills before you today, all three of them, are an attempt to do something for those small renewables. Now, with something, we just didn't want to come up with, you know, any idea that would encourage renewables. We wanted to take a common sense approach and spent the last 4 months working with folks to figure out the right mechanism. So what we've got before you isn't a mandate. It's not net metering. It's not a feed-in tariff. It's not some mandated rate of development. They're simply incentives that in many ways try to mimic what we're doing for the big guys anyway. So what do they do, specifically Senate Bill 58? This bill exempts the first $50,000, or 70%, whichever is greater, of a renewable project from paying property tax. Now, Mr. Chairman, there has been a bit of confusion about that, and to eliminate any of that, you know, in our bill on page 2, line 7, we use the term real property, and I think some folks are curious what the antecedent of that was. We have an amendment, Mr. Chairman. If you want to hand it out now, I'd be happy to do so. Otherwise, if you want to wait to the end of my testimony, we can do that as well.
I would like to see the amendment.
Okay, great.
Pages, if you'd be so kind as to help us hand the amendment out. Or Page, if you'd be so kind as to help us hand the amendment out. Proceed, Commissioner, if you would.
Thanks, you bet. The bill before you, Senate Bill 58, is much, much simpler than the current system. We talked to some county assessors yesterday. Some of them are treating renewable systems as real property. Some of those assessors are not. Some of the assessors that want to be taxing these renewable systems aren't able to because they don't know where they're at in their county. So in a very real sense in South Dakota, you've got a patchwork quilt, which brings a lot of unpredictability. And unpredictability is not good for potential investment. This small property tax incentive is better than the one that's in state law today. Why? Because the one we've got today is confusing. Here's the interesting thing. It treats wind projects different than solar projects, and it treats anaerobic digesters different than it treats other kinds of renewables. It treats projects that sell power onto the grid differently than it treats projects that use that power on site. And you take all of that together, and it's confusing. And it takes 5 pages to explain. That's 5 pages that our bill cuts out. It takes out the winners and losers. It just tries to focus on the big picture of incentivizing renewables. And the result is a system that doesn't differentiate between big and small and from one type of generation to another and from one county to another. There are going to be some, I suspect, that will argue, listen, the current system we've got isn't as confusing as he's arguing. It's fine. It works. Well, we estimate, by talking to vendors in the state, that there are probably about 180 of these systems, wind, solar primarily, in the state right now. To get the small tax incentive that we have, property tax incentive we've got now, you've got to fill out paperwork at the county courthouse and with the Department of Revenue and Regulation. How many of these applications has Revenue and Regulation received in recent years? I'm going to bet not very many. And if it's only a fraction of the 180, I think that tells us that what we've got in state law today isn't working. It's reasonable to ask about fiscal impact, of course, and I'll admit that it's tough to say what the impact would be because, again, we've got a patchwork quilt of what counties are doing. Some are taxing them, some aren't. But I think a reasonable estimation is if you take 50 to 100 new systems next year at $20,000 apiece, that's going to get you $1 to $2 million investment. And if that's the case, then the impact combined to all the cities, all the counties, and all the school districts is going to be somewhere between $6,000 to $15,000 a year. So here's the bottom line. SB 58 makes our system fairer, simpler, and it's more encouraging to renewables. It does so without breaking the bank, and I would ask respectfully for a yes vote on Senate Bill 58. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other proponents? Other proponents to Senate Bill 58? Other proponents?
Hello, my name is Michael Milius. I'm here representing South Dakota Chapter of Sierra Club, as well as South Dakota Resources Coalition.
Welcome, Michael.
Our state has fallen behind in renewable energy production and the laws to support it. And the South Dakota Sierra Club and South Dakota Resources Coalition support these bills as steps in the right direction towards producing clean energy, reducing carbon pollution, diversifying our energy sources, providing green energy jobs, and fostering, energy independence. So while I'm obviously in support of Senate Bill 58, I'd also like to put in a good word for 59 and 61. I myself have lived with a solar electric system for over 25 years in my place in rural Custer County. About 6 years ago, I added a small wind turbine, making it a hybrid system. It's an off-grid system with the battery storage, but most consumers will be interested in grid-tied systems, which these bills address. Recently, I was involved in an email discussion with a woman in the Rapid City area who wants to invest some $30,000 for solar panels on her house. One of her questions was about the rate she would get from the local utility for the power produced.
And Michael, excuse me, but I'm going to ask that for at this time that you address your comments specific to just Senate Bill 58, if you would.
Okay. Well, think about that $30,000 that that woman wants to invest. We all ought to welcome that investment for the economic activity and clean energy it produces. The electric utility especially ought to welcome it because in a time of rising demand, they've got a new energy source with negligible effort and cost on their part. And as the Commissioner Johnson just spoke about, that the legislation will streamline the process for people getting tax rebates on that. Let me put it this way. If you could offer your constituents a fuel source that is abundant and free, would you do so? Because that's what solar and wind power are, the most abundant energy on Earth and free. A solar or wind energy system pays for itself because it can reduce your electric bill to zero. And the fuel is free. Other reasons to support renewable energy. Individuals and businesses can own the power generating source. They can put it right on their property. Solar power especially provides peak power in such as for air conditioning in July and August. No new transmission lines are needed. It's locally generated. The jobs are local. It provides employment, the boots on the roof type jobs that are for construction and electricians that can't be outsourced to another country. Basically, it's a green energy technology that reduces our carbon dioxide output. Renewable energy is just a great idea, great development for our state in general. And I thank you for considering these bills, and I hope you will pass them.
Thank you, Michael. Opponents of Senate Bill 58? Other proponents of Senate Bill 58?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I come before you strongly in support of Senate Bill 58.
And you are?
Senator Frank Klocek, Scotland, South Dakota.
And you are welcome here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 58, very similar in respects to some legislation we had last year. I want to commend the PUC. They have added, however, solar, hydroelectric, hydrogen, biomass, and geothermal, where ours was strictly just wind power last year. So I do commend them for that, but I strongly support it. It's a small first step for energy and renewables and our smaller renewable energy facilities. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Klocek. Other proponents? Proponents of Senate Bill 58?
Hi, my name is Luke Temple. I'm an organizer with Dakota Rural Action.
Welcome, Luke.
Thank you. Dakota Rural Action is in strong support of promoting dispersed, locally or community-owned renewable energy, and we believe that these bills, and speaking with all of them in an effort of time, that we believe that all of them will help begin this process. There's still more work to be done, but because of those reasons, we think that that Dakota Rural Action will support both all these bills. We hope you do as well. And that's all 58, 59, and 61.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Luke. Other proponents? Senate Bill 58. Other proponents? Opponents of Senate Bill 58. Opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation.
Morning, Michael. You are a familiar face here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the department does oppose this legislation. A $50,000 tax break or property tax exemption translates into about $1,000 of actual property taxes. So that would be the baseline for this. Obviously, if you give a 70% property tax, a property tax reduction, that could be significantly more. So the bottom line number, the minimum number, is probably around $1,000 for this exemption. In South Dakota's property tax laws now, we very rarely give as an incentive a permanent, a perpetual exemption, or what's most likely to be a total exemption. If you look at our existing law in this area that's repealed by this bill, Section 5 talks about wind farms that are less than 5 megawatts. That bill provides a partial exemption. It exempts the value of the wind turbines and the blades from the valuation of the wind farm. If you look at the rest of the bill, that's the current incentive that's in law for residential applications for many different kinds of renewable energy systems. That exemption typically provides an exemption or a reduction in the assessed valuation of the property of the complete cost of the renewable energy system, but it's for 3 years. And then there's an additional 3 years where that benefit is prorated out, 75, 50, and 25. So it's a six-year property tax break as an incentive, as opposed to this bill, which provides a continuous and perpetual exemption to the property tax system. If you think about the other areas of the law where the state provides a perpetual exemption from the property tax, the typical areas are for things like churches, hospitals, benevolent organizations, things like that. South Dakota's tax philosophy on this for a long time has been that everybody rolls a little bit at least. And so we'd ask you to continue that philosophy today and oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Other opponents of Senate Bill 58? Other opponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate State Affairs. I'm Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for the large school districts, and I have a very specific concern when you begin to give property tax exemptions.
Welcome, Diana.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. When you give continuous and perpetual tax breaks, you do impact how we fund special education and capital outlay. and this could potentially and will cause us some loss. I realize that Commissioner Johnson said it may be a minimal loss, but at this particular point, I need to look out for all the money I currently have. I don't want to lose any more. And with a proposed zero increase for education and special ed and regular education, special education is near and dear to my heart, and I need to keep those dollars in the local areas and districts. So I would caution the committee, when you look at this very closely, make sure you understand, and I don't like to deal with estimates may or may not happen. We need to be very concerned about the capital outlay because we have obligations in many districts for bond payments, that type of thing, and to continue to lose money is not the route that I believe the state of South Dakota wants to go as far as education. So I would ask also that at this particular point in time you oppose Senate Bill 58. And I'd stand by for any questions.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other opponents of Senate Bill 58? Other opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League.
Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you. We like renewable energy as much as anybody, and if you, as a matter of state policy, want to give an incentive for this kind of development, I think we're probably fine with that, but we would ask that you not take your incentive out of the local pockets. And so with that, I don't need to repeat the previous speakers, but we would ask you to oppose this bill.
Thank you. Other opponents of Senate Bill 58? Other opponents of Senate Bill 58?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lauren Pankratz, the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota County Commissioners Association.
Welcome, Mr. Pankratz.
Thank you, Senator. I guess I would echo the comments that you have already heard about the loss of revenue, and that's why we would oppose this, is that based on those estimates, whether they're high or low, we're still in a situation where we're going to be losing some of that tax revenues. And I would point out that last year we were involved in discussions regarding transmission lines where they suspended a portion of those property tax for the counties as well. So we're here in opposition today to Senate Bill 58.
Thank you. Other opponents of Senate Bill 58? Other opponents of Senate Bill 58? Questions by members of the committee for either proponents or opponents? Senator Quebec-Berry.
Thank you. Any of the commissioners would be fine. Commissioner Johnson. First of all, were these unanimous by the three commissioners that everyone is in agreement in promoting these?
Yes, I should have mentioned that. My apologies. Yeah, okay. The commission is supportive of this as a whole.
All right. What is the typical range of cost for the kinds of projects or improvements that you're talking about? And I guess I'll particularly hone in on what I'm wondering about is, especially, for example, in the world of maybe solar panels, are there projects that actually cost less than $50,000?
Good question, Ms. Chairman, if I might. Thanks. The costs range quite a bit, Senator, but I think your presumptions are right. For wind, it's not unusual to have a system below $50,000. Of course, it depends on the size. But for solar, you know, a beginning system is probably around $11,000. That being said, right now the current tax structure really kills solar. I mean, that's what one vendor told us yesterday. The system we're proposing would be far friendlier to solar than it would even be to wind.
I guess what I'm wondering then is the logic, if there is one, to giving, for example, a $50,000 property exemption to me if I've only put $10,000 or $11,000 into the project in the first place. Would you sort of explain that thinking to me?
And I looked at the wrong numbers. My apologies. A very small solar system of 2 kilowatts would be $11,000. And then for a 5-kilowatt system, be about $29,000.
All right, but in any case, you understand my question. As I see it, no matter what I do, if it qualifies, maybe the smallest solar system that I could put on my house, I put in $10,000, $11,000, I get a $50,000 property tax break?
I don't think so. I mean, what we're saying is that that amount of property is exempt from taxation. So if you have a $1 solar panel, then that $1 is not taxed. The bill, particularly if it's amended, makes it very clear that that exemption applies only to the renewable energy property. And that's why we brought that amendment, to make
that a
little clearer.
Okay, so the county assessors would be expected to assess, for example, my home separately from the solar system on my home.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And in fact, that is what they do today. And Senator, if I might be granted just a little liberality in answering your question. You know, revenue is talked about being philosophically opposed to perpetual, tax breaks, and I understand that. But it is interesting that when we're just talking about wind, they already have perpetual tax breaks for big wind, and they already have perpetual tax breaks for small wind. But the perpetual tax breaks apply to only the blades and the turbine. I mean, it seems to me that if we're philosophically opposed to perpetual tax breaks, then maybe that's not a great argument to be talking about with wind, because we've routinely broken that. And secondly, I do understand and feel a great amount of sympathy and empathy for folks who are saying, don't take this out of the pockets of local people. You already are. You're taking it out of the pockets of local people for big wind, and you're taking it out of the pockets of local people for small wind, again, just as it relates to the blades or to non-blades and non-turbine. Our current system is taking it out of the pockets. It's just very confusing.
And I think my last question is, two questions. Do these systems depreciate over time, and what would be the expected life of maybe the kind of system you're anticipating, both in the category of solar and in wind?
Yes, they do depreciate. We did talk to some assessors earlier this week that indicated that they do depreciate them out over the expected lifespan. Maybe not a straight line. I don't know that. They didn't say that. To me, the life, it really depends on whether you're talking to a vendor or to somebody who's actually got a system. I think, speaking in broad numbers, I'd feel comfortable saying 15 to 25 years.
But if I'm understanding you correctly as to how the assessors treat it, then presumably it really isn't a perpetual break, because at some point, if the assessor's putting no value on my solar system, let's say, because it's 15 years old, I'm not getting any break against the rest of my real property. Am I following you?
That's exactly right. That is the intention of the bill, and I believe that's what it says, particularly with the amendment that makes that much clearer. To me, it's like the only thing, the assessor's just going to act as though the thing never showed up. And you're right, Senator, absolutely right. It's not a perpetual tax break. I mean, if the thing lasts for 18 years, then you get a tax break for 18 years. Right now, as Mr. Kenyon mentioned, you get kind of a tax break for 6 years if you take the time to apply and send your paperwork to revenue. So I think philosophically what we're doing here isn't that much different. It's just much simpler, and I do believe it will drive much more investment.
You mentioned that, I think you said there were around 125, 150 projects in the state, we think, that would be?
I don't remember what I said. I think the number's around 180.
Okay, I'm sorry. I probably missed it.
And that's probably split, best we can tell by talking to the vendors, probably two-thirds wind, one-third solar.
Obviously, the whole point of an incentive is to encourage people to do this. Any ideas of where we might be 3-5 years from now in terms of the number of projects statewide?
We don't have good projections. I would tell you last year, I think one vendor that does 80% or more of the business did about 35 of these systems total. To me, if you assume that you'll see a 300% increase in the deployment of these systems because of this tax incentive, then you're talking about, 100 systems.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions by members of the committee? Other questions? Commissioner Johnson, I do have a question for you. One of the things that you do talk about is whether it's a perpetual tax break for a big wind or not, or a perpetual tax break in existing statutes for small projects. One of the things that you did not address, and as my understanding of what we're currently doing, particularly with wind, is the perpetual revenue that we have as a result of the incentive that we offered. Could you remind us what that is?
Well, there are a number of different revenue streams. The one that's probably most clear with the big wind are the landowner payments. The one that I think that is most clear when you're talking small wind is the offset utility costs. Right now, unfortunately, for a number of these systems, the savings you get from having a solar panel is offset by the taxes, in some cases by 100%. The real value of this is, I think it's going to allow those dollars, those saved utility dollars, to be deployed and invested elsewhere in South Dakota. Another additional, I mean, I think a good argument has been made in the past that, well, large wind development creates jobs. There is no doubt in my mind that $1 million of investment in small wind would create more South Dakota jobs than $1 million invested in big wind. I'm not anti-big wind. I just think small wind also has a role to play in job creation.
Questions, members of the committee? Proponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion and or action. I believe the first thing that we should perhaps discuss is Amendment 580A. Senator Roden.
And I would move 580A.
We have a motion for Amendment 580A. Do we have a second? We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Senator? Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Seeing none, ask the Secretary to call the roll. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senate Bill 58 as amended. Is there discussion? Senate Bill 58 as amended. Is there discussion? Senator Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think the amendment goes a long way to helping this bill, because I was certainly one of those that read it kind of the way Senator Turbeck started to ask, that if I could get a $50,000 reduction when I only spent $11,000 on my solar project. But I think this is pretty clear now that it is just the value of the renewable energy project. And it seems to me that the impact is likely to be quite small on local governments. I think Commissioner Johnson indicated what sort of a reasonable guesstimate could be on that. And to me, it probably does help move small wind projects forward, so I'd move do pass.
We have a do pass motion. Is there a second? We have a second from Senator Turbeck Berry. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there additional discussion? Is there additional discussion? There is additional discussion. My comment is simply this. I think it's all too easy for we as state legislators to give away somebody else's tax. And it seems to me that if we're going to do this, that we should probably at the same time find some general fund revenue that we can reimburse the counties or the school districts' tax revenue that we are now exempting if this bill passes. But with that, is there additional discussion? We have a do pass motion on Senate Bill 58 as amended. Additional discussion? Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Heideprim.
Aye.
Knutson.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Roden.
Aye.
Turbeck Berry.
Aye.
Gray. Dempster.
No.
Mr. Chair, there were seven yeas, two nays.
Senate Bill 58 is amended with a do pass motion. That then brings us to Senate Bill 59. Do we have proponents of Senate Bill 59?
Mr. Chairman, Dusty Johnson, member of the Public Utilities Commission.
Welcome again.
Thanks. I have good news for Senator Dempster. If he likes renewable systems and he likes having state incentives, do I have a deal for him? Senate Bill 59 is in some ways a second verse to Senate Bill 58. I think, again, in the past, you all have done a good job of incentivizing development by having a refund of some portion of contractors' excise tax. I think a strong argument can be made and is being made this session that perhaps that system gets fairer if you peel back the size of some of those refunds. To be honest with you, I view Senate Bill 59 as an extension of that, trying to make the system fairer to those people involved. Big renewable projects in South Dakota get big refunds. Small renewable projects don't get any. And Senate Bill 59, I think, makes that a lot fairer. Here's some of the confusion as I look at the current bill. Commercial renewables are eligible for a refund. Residential renewables aren't. Why? Under current law, a 500 kW project that costs $500,000 gets a refund, but a 500 kilowatt project that's more efficient and costs less than $500,000 doesn't get a refund. Why is that? Well, Senate Bill 59 makes it fair. I think it takes out some of those inconsistencies in the law, and I think it results in a much better product. It is reasonable to ask about fiscal impact, of course. If we assume 50 to 100 new systems next year at $20,000 apiece, that's $1 to $2 million investment. And then we're talking about $13,000 to $26,000 of reduced revenues annually. From an administrative burden perspective, 50 to 100 applications to revenue and regulation would be one or two a week. The dollars are small, but I'll sum up by just telling you, I think you're going to see bigger results than maybe you might anticipate. Vendors are very good about taking these kind of incentives, particularly in the renewable energy sphere, very good at taking these kind of incentives and using them as a part of their marketing campaign. The existence of a program like this helps to educate potential buyers, and I do think you're going to see a healthy jump in the number of systems that are invested in and that are deployed in South Dakota. With that, I will ask for a yes vote on Senate Bill 59. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other proponents of Senate Bill 59? Other proponents of Senate Bill 59? Proponents, Senate Bill 59? Opponents, Senate Bill 59? We have opponents of Senate Bill 59.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jan Talley, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation.
Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. What Senate Bill 59 does is it modifies the current refund programs that we consider for small wind farms. The current system permits a newer expanded commercial power production facility utilizing renewable resources to generate electricity that produces less than 10 megawatts and costs over $500,000 to obtain 100% refund of all contractors' excise tax paid on the project. We currently have three projects that have qualified for this refund program, and the cost to the state is $500,000 that we refunded. Senate Bill 59 significantly broadens the system. Any power production facility that produces less than 10 megawatts using renewable resources would qualify. The $500,000 project limit, the cost minimum, is deleted, and the commercial requirement is deleted. Anyone now qualifies. Under Senate Bill 59, any homeowner with a solar electric panel installed for approximately $30,000 would qualify. A business that installs a 1 megawatt wind tower costing approximately $1 million would qualify. So anyone who installs a power production facility that produces less than 10 megawatts would qualify. The pool of qualifying projects could increase significantly. The amount of refunds and exposure to the state treasurer is potentially very large. It's an unknown figure. It's, like I said, any household could qualify, so we're not sure of the dollar amount that this refund would generate. And the Department of Revenue could potentially be dealing with every homeowner in South Dakota dealing with these refunds. And remember, the current system, the current refund system, has cost the state $500,000. I urge that you oppose Senate Bill 59. Thank you.
Other opponents to Senate Bill 59? Other opponents to Senate Bill 59? Close for committee discussion and our action. Absolutely.
Jan, perhaps you said, if you did, I missed it. The $500,000 cost, was that for that's over the life of the program we've had so far? That's not an annual cost, is it?
Mr. Chairman, that's over the life of the current refund program.
And that's been how many years?
I'm not sure when that was implemented.
Okay, thank you.
Close Senate Bill 59. Close for committee discussion. Close for committee action. Senator.
I move the table.
We have a table from Senator Odella. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a table and a second from Senator Odella. Ask Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Odella.
Aye.
Hansen.
No.
Heiderprim.
No.
Knutson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Chair Wright Berry?
No.
Gray? Dempster?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are five yeas.
Senate Bill 59 is tabled with five yeas and three nays. Is that correct? Okay. Senate Bill 61. We have proponents for Senate Bill 61. Commissioner, you're busy this morning. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. Dusty Johnson, member of the Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 61 is ultimately about transparency. Right now, the federal government requires that investor-owned utilities in the state file with the PUC rates for what they will pay for distributed generation, small renewable generation. And what Senate Bill 61 does is creates sort of one-stop shop. I mean, it's amazing to me. At 2 o'clock in the morning, you can find out the price of almost anything in the world, it seems like. But you can't find out the price of what your local utility or the utility next door or the utility in the county over pays routinely or is willing to pay for small renewable energy. That's all Senate Bill 61 does. It doesn't create in the Public Utilities Commission any additional authority to review or approve rates, and it would provide just a clearinghouse of information for vendors and consumers who are interested in what utilities are paying for this power. If there are questions on the specifics, I would be happy to stand by for questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other proponents of Senate Bill 61? Other proponents of Senate Bill 61? Senator Klochek, we've seen you before this morning. You are welcome here.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to help Dusty out. The bill I testified on before passed. The one I didn't pass, so I'm hoping this will
be. We have a clear understanding of that. Please proceed.
Just ditto to what Senator or Mr.
Thank you.
Johnson
Thank
said.
Thank you for your testimony.
Support.
You have other proponents for Senate Bill 61? Other proponents for 61? Opponents of Senate Bill 61? Opponents of Senate Bill 61? Closed for committee discussion and direction. And we have a do-pass motion from Senator Turbeck Berry. Do we have a second? We have a do-pass motion. We have a second from Senator Roden. Motion is do-pass. Has a second. Is there discussion? Discussion. Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah. Hansen.
Aye.
Heiderprim.
Aye.
Knudsen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Turbeck Berry.
Aye.
Gray. Dempster.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 6-7.
Senate Bill 61 passes with a do-pass motion. Senator?
I move that we place that on the consent calendar.
We have a consent motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion? We have a motion. We have a second from Senator Turbeck Berry. Is there discussion? Ask the Secretary to call the roll. Your voice vote? Yep.
Answer.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senate Bill 61 is on the consent calendar. That then brings us to our confirmations this morning. The first confirmation that we have on the agenda is a confirmation of Gordon Garnos from Coddington County, a confirmation to the Career Service Commission. Who do we have here this morning to speak to this confirmation?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Lynn Valenti with the Bureau of Personnel.
Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Chairman Garnos could not be here today, so I'm here to speak on his behalf.
Lynn, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you. Commissioner Garnos is currently the chairman of the Career Service Commission, and he's seeking reappointment. Commissioner Garnos is retired from the Watertown Public Opinion, where he was employed for more than 35 years. He was editor from 1980 until his retirement in 2002. Throughout the years, he has been involved in numerous civic and service organizations and projects. He's been a member of the Career Service Commission since before 1996. Nobody was quite sure when when his appointment started. He was chairman from 1996 until 2002 when his appointment expired, and in 2003, Governor Rounds reappointed him to the Career Service Commission, and he has been chairman ever since. His dedication to the mission and the work of the Career Service Commission has remained steadfast throughout the years, and the Bureau asks that you support Commissioner and Chairman Gordon Garnos' reappointment. Thank you.
Thank you. Sit tight if you would. Other proponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion and action.
Mr. Chair, a question of the chair or anybody else that can answer it. What does the Career Service Commission do?
Lynn, maybe you can help us.
The commission is created in statute, and its role and purpose is to provide advice to the governor in the matters of the public personnel system. It also serves a very important role in terms of it hears grievances of career service employees, and it is very active in that role.
Other questions? Close for committee discussion and action. We have a do-pass motion.
Second.
Well, we have a do-pass motion from Senator Turbeck-Berry, second from Senator Abdullah. Is there additional discussion?
Yeah.
Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
I move that we...
We do understand that. We do understand that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I know Mr. Garnos, and he's served on this commission, reappointment. I've sat in on some hearings that he's been involved in, and he's very fair and is very thorough, and I recommend the reappointment.
Additional discussion? We have a motion. We have a second. Ask Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Heiderprim.
Aye.
Knutson. Olson.
Aye.
Rodin.
Aye.
Turbeck-Berry.
Aye.
Gray. Dempster.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, the
committee's advice and consent is given. That then brings us to the confirmation hearing of Dennis Hahn, Pennington County, confirmations to the South Dakota Building Authority. Who do we have to speak to this?
Good morning. Don Templeton, Executive Secretary of the South Dakota Building Authority.
Welcome, Don. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Dennis Hahn is a resident of Rapid City. He's the president and founder of Wyoming Resources Corporation, which is an oil and gas exploration business. He's a graduate of Black Hills State University. He's been on the South Dakota Building Authority since August of 2000. And he's also a member of the Educational Enhancement Funding Corporation. Dennis has been an active South Dakota Building Authority members for the 10 years he has served, and I would recommend his confirmation.
Thank you, Mr. Templeton. We have proponents. Do we additional proponents? Opponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Move advise and consent for Dennis Hahn.
We have an advise and consent motion. Do we have a second? We have a second from Senator Hansen. Motion is advised and consent. We have a second. Is there discussion? Ask Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah. Hansen.
Aye.
Heiderprim. Knutson. Olson.
Aye.
Rodin.
Aye.
Turbeck-Berry.
Aye.
Gray. Dempster.
Aye. Motion passes. That then brings us to the reappointment of Jolene Lawrence County to the South Dakota Building Authority. Mr. Templeton.
Don Templeton, South Dakota Building Authority, Executive Secretary. Jolene is a resident of Spearfish. He is the owner of an asphalt company. He's a graduate of University of South Dakota. He's been a South Dakota Building Authority member since February of 1990. He enjoys working on his home in Spearfish, traveling, entertaining. Joe is also on the Educational Enhancement Funding Corporation and Black Hills State University Foundation Board member. Joe has also been an active Building Authority member in the 20 years that he's served, and he's been a real asset to the Building Authority, and I would also recommend his confirmation.
Thank you, Mr. Templeton. Additional proponents? Proponents? Opponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion and action. We We have an advise and consent motion from Senator Olson. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion is advise and consent from Senator Olson, second by Senator Roden. Is there discussion? Discussion? Seeing none, ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah, Hansen?
Aye.
Heiderprim, Knudsen?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Chirbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Gray? Dempster?
Aye. Advice and consent motion passes. That then brings us to the appointment of Brent Dykstra, Stanley County, to the Housing Development Authority. Do we have one to speak to that appointment?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, good morning. My name is Mark Lawson. I'm Executive Director of the South Dakota Housing Development Authority.
Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Brent Dykstra is with First National Bank in Pierre and lives in Fort Pierre, and I think he would be an excellent addition to our board, and I'd ask for your support.
Do we have additional proponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion and action. We have an advice and consent motion from Senator Chirbeck-Berry. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Senator Olson. We have a motion. We have a second. The motion is advise and consent. Is there discussion? Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah, Hansen?
Aye.
Heiderprim?
Aye.
Knudsen? Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Chirbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Gray? Dempster?
Aye. Advice and consent motion passes. That then brings us to the appointment of Kurt Pfeiffer from Hand County from Miller, South Dakota. Proponents.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, again, my name is Mark Lossing, Executive Director of the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Kurt Pfeiffer is the General Manager of the Mid-Dakota Rural Water System in Miller. And, again, we think we'd make a great board member for us, and we'd ask for your support.
Thank you. We have other additional proponents for Mr. Pfeiffer. Additional proponents, opponents? Are there opponents to this appointment? Close for committee discussion and action. We have an advice and consent motion from Senator Hansen. We have a second. We have a second. Is this a hand county problem, perhaps? We have a second from Senator Chirbeck-Berry. We have an advice and consent motion from Senator Hansen, second from Senator Chirbeck-Berry. Additional discussion? Ask Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah, Hansen.
Aye.
Heiderprim?
Aye.
Knudsen? Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Chirbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Gray? Dempster?
Aye. Mr. Pfeiffer is successful in his advice and consent motion from this committee. Are there additional items to bring before this marvelous committee this morning? If not, ask for a motion to adjourn. We have a motion from Senator Turbeck, second from Senator Olson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned.